Hi, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online, inviting you to subscribe to our other podcast called The Grave Talks. It's where I sit down and interview individuals who've had extreme paranormal situations happen to them in their lives. Just search The Grave Talks on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to press subscribe and give us some stars to help spread the word that this show exists. Now, here's a 15-minute preview of The Grave Talks. Today on The Grave Talks, the haunting of Jacinda Rearick. To say Jacinda Rearick has been through a lot is truly an understatement. While trying to recover from multiple surgeries over nearly a decade, she and her family have been tormented by dark entities that invaded their home seemingly out of nowhere. After asking multiple paranormal investigators, including a priest, to come help clear her dwelling of these unexplained and terrifying forces, Jacinda Rearick was essentially told that they could not be removed, and the family could only learn to deal with these dark spirits and keep them at bay. Much easier said than done. This is the story of a family under extreme oppression, as told by the woman who's living through it herself, Jacinda Rearick.
Basically, nothing really, I was really aware of nothing until... See, we've lived in this house now, it was 18 years this December. December of 2018 was 18 years that we've lived here. Mm-hmm. And there were no problems up until 2013. I raised my kids here, you know, my boys, they were young, we had no problems. And I went off to have a back surgery in 2013 in June. And I was just home here recovering, and I got my camera, and I had, like, pictures for, like, 3 years on there, and I thought, okay, I'll start going through them. During that time frame, I lost my father in 2004, and I lost my mother in 2011. So I happened to come across my older son's graduation picture, and I always watched the ghost shows. I always was fascinated with it. And I happened to see him, his picture, and he stood up to the podium, and when he grabbed his diploma, there was an orb right over top of his head. And I nonchalantly said to my husband, you know what that is, that's probably my mom coming to watch him graduate. Didn't think anything of it, nothing. Mm-hmm. And then I was literally here by myself, and my husband would come home and check on me at lunchtime. And I just started noticing them in more and more pictures. Then I'd be here during the day, and I'd be laying in bed, and I would hear voices, and I would hear noises, and my dogs would bark or growl, and I'm like, what's going on here? Like, I have to admit, I literally thought I was crazy at first.
Sure.
And this probably went on for a good year, and I kept telling everybody about it, and they're like, oh, well, you're just hearing creaks, and you're just hearing noises.
Mm-hmm.
So this would have been into now, that was June of 13, this would have been into October of 14. What had happened was my husband and I were in bed sleeping, and it was around 3 a.m., somewhere between 3 and 4 a.m., and something grabbed my arm and was literally trying to pull me out of bed. Like, my top part of my body was, like, hanging off the bed, and I was trying to yell for my husband to help me, and he wasn't answering me. So finally, I screamed super loud, and when he flipped the light on, it left. So that was that time. And then that next morning, like, that happened, we all tried to calm back down, and we laid back down and went to sleep. And when I actually got up that morning, I had the three claw marks on my side. So we took a picture of that. Then the next night, at the very same time, I felt like these, they described them as tentacles. They were like these vines. There were these black vines that would come up from the bed. I would see them coming up from the bed, and they were wrapping around my legs, and I couldn't move. And I was trying to wake my husband up, and he literally rolled over to me, and I thought he was dead. He looked like this rotten corpse. I've never gotten that out of my mind. Like, that is as fresh as it happening last night. And then he woke up and he calmed me down, and I'm like, I don't care what any of you guys think, I have got to find somebody.
Sure.
So I just started researching in the area and come to find Kevin's group in Danville, which is literally 15 minutes from where I live. And I thought, oh, good, they're close. So I called him and they interviewed me on the phone, and I was like in hysterics because this had literally just happened the night before. And they were very quick. Like, they came, him and his, they weren't married at the time, but the psychic, Christine, came the very next day and interviewed me, and we talked. And then they were like, we need to do an investigation, and they were here within a week. And I'll never forget, my neighbor that lived across from me actually was living in my mom's trailer that was left to me. I rented it to her, and she was with me through all of this. And it turns out that she was, I think they said it's called, she has the gift of the third eye. Like, she would see dead people wandering around, okay? So she would believe me all along, so I kind of had her come. When they came for the interview, they were still here, and she came over to kind of help somebody to kind of back up, because she would come, and she always said that there was a black shadow guy standing, and he was always trying to, like, scare for her to leave, and she wouldn't leave, kind of a thing. So in the meantime, till they came back, my older son had to have shoulder surgery, and he was in a car accident, and he had happened to be here by himself. A friend had came and taken me away, and he is the only one. I never physically seen anything with my eyes but orbs. I never seen any of the apparitions, only in pictures, but the orbs I did see with my eyes. Justin had been coming from out of his bedroom, which happened to be in the basement, which the basement was a place that we resided. It was a full furnished family room. His bedroom was off to the side. We had a pool table down there and a bar, so, like, we hung out there all the time. Like, that's where we live. And he happened to be coming out of the bedroom. He came upstairs, and he heard, because he heard footsteps, and nobody was here. So he went back downstairs, and he heard the footsteps again, so he came back up, and then he heard the pool table balls break downstairs. And when he went down, he happened to look, and he seen this black, he described it as something that wasn't, or how did he say it? I said, I don't even know where you came up with that word, organically natural. And he said it flashed, and then it went away. And then he finally came to me. At that time, he had graduated from high school, and he was working at a local hardware store. And he had came to me, he's like, Mom, I finally believe you. And I was just, like, so happy that somebody was finally, you know, on the same page with me.
Up until that point, I want to ask a question, and you're doing a great job. Up until this point, you'd seen orbs, you had felt things, you had that experience in bed where it felt like vines, or did you actually see vines coming out?
No, there was, like, black. They looked like just vines, almost like that when Harry Potter was in that, like, tunnel thing, that maze. There were, like, these vines, and they were black, and they were just, like, intertwining all around my leg.
So aside from the orbs, you did see that. You did see these.
I did see the black vines.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you're having all these things happen, and you're expressing this to your husband and your sons, what sort of reactions are you getting? What are they saying to you?
Before Justin actually had that experience, they just literally thought it was my medications, because I was on some heavy-duty meds from the back surgery.
Sure.
And I kept saying, honestly, I'm telling you guys. And then, like, at night, my husband and I would be laying back in bed watching TV. And I'm not going to lie, I got so addicted to wanting to find out what was here. I kept my camera underneath my pillow. That is no lie. And, like, every noise or everything I heard, I was constantly snapping pictures, or I was taking videos, because I was just trying to find something to back up what I was saying.
Sure.
And without them
experiencing something for themselves firsthand, and them thinking, well, you know, she's on a lot of medication right now because of the surgery, did you ever go in and ask your doctors or anything and say, look, this is what I'm experiencing? I'm just curious, did they ever give you any feedback, or did they, you know, essentially get on the side of your husband or your son, or did that conversation ever happen?
I have never to this day mentioned it to any of my doctors.
Okay.
No, and none of them have ever mentioned it to me either.
Sure.
Never. I never said a word. So I was afraid to. I didn't want him to think I was nuts. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
And my husband, throughout this whole thing, he was a drinker, and it kept escalating so badly that we've been together 31 years. We've been married, and we've been together since eighth grade in high school. So we've been together a very long time. Mm-hmm. And I was about ready to be done because I'm in here trying to recover from surgery, and he's out in the garage drinking with his buddies. I mean, it got really bad where he was just drinking all the time.
Yeah.
And so it was affecting him that way. When they said alienating, it was trying to keep everybody away from me.
Mm-hmm.
And keep me alone. And so that happened to Justin, and I was so glad that that happened because I honestly at one point thought I was crazy, and then one day I thought, you know what, no, I'm getting myself up out of bed. I came out in the dining room, and I was painting and I was drawing. I came out here, I started playing like Christmas music because we were getting close to the holidays. I had all the lights on in the house all the time. And my son at that point then would call me from work and check on me because he was afraid for me to be here by myself, but there was no choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have pictures, like in the beginning, I did get some pictures developed, and that's what was submitted to the TV show. And I do have them if you would ever want to see them. Like, I never knew that you should not have mirrors across from each other.
Mm-hmm.
So we would a lot of times get reflections, and I have some pretty funky things in mirrors, like coming out of mirrors that would, they look like things from Jurassic Park almost.
No.
And that's where I had taken and to like the drugstore, put my thing and I had them blowed up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a series of, I think, 10, maybe 5 to 10 pictures where you could actually see this black shadowy thing coming in like our bedroom, and it would come in and come in and come in, and then you can see it back. And I took slide for slide because they told me if I'm taking pictures, you have to take them in sequence, at least 3 at a time. So, I mean, I was getting like really like, okay, I've got to find some proof. And my dad had passed away, like I said, in 2004. And I had the feeling all along that my parents were here.
Mm-hmm.
I just had that feeling. And in the one orb in particular was a man's face with glasses. And I said, that's my dad. And every single person I showed it to, they knew my father, said, oh my God, that's your father. That was like one of the things that blew me away.
Yeah.
And when they came to do the initial investigation, there must have been at least 15 of them. And they kept me at the dining room table with the lead psychic, Christine. And then they had every room in our house, they had an investigator and, a psychic, if you will. And then they also had somebody that would be taking pictures. Well, they had trouble getting their equipment to work. They finally got it to work, but they had trouble. And they had to come back 3 times initially before they got it to, like, go away. But then they had to come back. I think they came a total of 6 times. And then they had told me that I had what was called a maintenance house where they would have to come like 3 times a year and just kind of go through and do a cleansing. But that never happened because then in May of 2015, my husband had a car accident and he ended up with a traumatic brain injury.
Mm-hmm.
And they wouldn't come because they said with his closed head injury, they wouldn't subject their group if he would have any episodes, which he never did.
Sure.
So that was kind of the reasoning for stopping to like help.
Okay.
Per se. And then from 2015 up until Melissa and I were just talking, we were trying to get our date straight. It was like August or September of 2016 was the first that I ever actually had anybody else come in.
I hope you enjoyed your 15-minute preview of our new podcast, The Grave Talks. Be sure to subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you download podcasts to not miss any episode of the show. New episodes every single Monday. Just search for The Grave Talks and then press subscribe. Give us a review while you're at it and some stars that will help us grow in the rankings and let other folks know that the show exists to make an even better show for you. The Grave Talks. Check it out at thegravetalks.com.